Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Jefferson County Commissioners Court meeting for Monday, June 25th, 2018. Begin our meeting today with the invocation led by Commissioner Alford, followed by the pledge of allegiance led by Commissioner Arnold.
In my mind, which please bow your heads, God, we come before you one more time, asking that you give a divine wisdom to each and every member here. Asking that you give a special prayer to Mr. Sinagor and his family. God, we ask that you put your loving arms around each and every member that have a loved one away fighting wars for our country. Or just keeping our democracy where it is. And we foundly ask you that you put that divine wisdom in each and every elected official in Jefferson County. This we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge during the nation's flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we'll begin our agenda a little bit out of order. Under Sheriff's Department, item A, consider possibly approved resolution recognizing Deputy Giles B. Boyce Pope for 9 years and 7 months dedicated service as a peace officer in the courthouse of the courthouse security office of the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office and the citizens of Jefferson County, wishing him well in his retirement. B is to consider and possibly approve a resolution recognizing correctional officer Brent K. Smithhart for 29 years and 3 months of dedicated correctional service to the Jefferson citizens of Jefferson County, wishing him well in his future endeavor. We have a motion on the floor by Under Sheriff.
So moved.
Second by Commissioner Arnold, second by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. If you'd like to come up to the podium.
Yes, sir.
Commissioner Arnold has a resolution he's going to read.
Thank you, Judge. I just want to say I sure appreciate the opportunity that you allowed me to work here. I feel like this is a high-level organization, and I really want to thank you.
Thank you.
So, we thank you, too. You know, coming into the courthouse every day when Giles is down in the security area, he always greets us and shakes our hand and makes us feel welcome to be there. So for that and your friendliness and your professional performance, we certainly appreciate that.
And you'll stand up there with the sheriff and Commissioner Arnold's going to read.
Whereas Giles B. Pope has devoted 9 years and 7 months of his life serving the people of Jefferson County with pride and professionalism. And whereas Giles has dedicated his talents and pledged his services as a peace officer for Jefferson County Sheriff's Office, and whereas Giles has pledged his service as a peace officer making an outstanding contribution to law enforcement and the quality of criminal justice in Jefferson County, serving as a courthouse security officer responsible for all security aspects of the courthouse, including ensuring that the judges, judicial staff, county employees, jurors, and general public visiting the courthouse are safe. Also ensure that no weapons are brought into the courthouse, managing metal detectors, watching doorways for suspicious activity, and for Jefferson County Sheriff's Office. And whereas through hard work and commitment to excellence, Giles has earned the respect of his colleagues and the citizens of Jefferson County. And whereas having made a significant contribution to the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office, Giles is recognized for his unselfish devotion to the common good and welfare of the citizens of Jefferson County, and will always be missed by his friends and co-workers. Now, therefore, be resolved that Jefferson County Commissioners Court is hereby honored and commend Giles B. Pope for his dedicated service as a valued employee of Jefferson County, wishes him well in his retirement.
I just want to say a few words. It's made it full circle. When I was a baby police officer at Beaumont Police Department, a long, long time ago, Giles was my lieutenant on patrol. And so to have the opportunity to bring him to the Sheriff's Department and let him, you know, continue his career and help, you know, keep this building safe and continue to serve the community, I think it's a testament to what I learned from him many, many years ago, how important this community was. And he's a South Park Green, I'm a South Park Green. And so that's also important. But thank you for your service, Giles.
Well, thank you, sir.
You'd like to introduce your family or guests here?
Sure, thank you.
You want to introduce your family?
Sure. This is my wife, Bobby. Stand up. And this is our son, Josh Harvey.
And Judge, before you say that, Commissioner Arnold, you said as best as we said, no matter what the day was and how it was, he always greeted us with a smile and said good morning. And that's something like my grandmother told me long ago, it doesn't cost you a dime to do that with a smile, and he did that well. Thank you for your service.
Appreciate the opportunity, and I know that us so much.
Greg, I'd just like to have known you for many years, worked with you in the sheriff's office, and I couldn't think of a better person to be at the helm during some of these disasters. Everybody knows you move fast and you get things going, and that's actually what you have to do in an emergency and disaster. Can't be all around. So your motivation and your diligent service is much appreciated.
Thank you.
I would add to that, though, that when you've been up for 72 hours straight, tempers can get a little short sometimes. And I did on occasion have to remind him that it was a county judge.
Well, I did try to get you to fire me a couple of times, and you said I'd have to quit.
Greg, I just want to say, in the 13 years I've been here, this time I've known you, you've always been there ready to help those of our residents and people in need. Phone call away, usually got things happening and had done when even the commissioners couldn't get things done. So you had your contacts, you had the network, and you utilized your professional talents in a great way to help the residents and us in Southeast Texas and Jefferson County. So with that, I'm grateful, and I wish you the very best in your new career, such as that might be. I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Jail to
this, to subsequently learn that that information was inaccurate, and spoke to Judge Burnett the other evening, and he is willing to continue to do the arraignments along with the associate judge of the family and criminal courts and others. So item B is consider and approve an order establishing the Orbit Gulf Coast Ethane Reinvestment Zone pursuant to section 312.401 of the Texas Tax Code. Item C is consider and approve a resolution recognizing Eugene A. Simon for 27 years and 4 months of service to Jefferson County and wishing him well in his retirement. Item D is consider, and we'll discuss that at the end.
Okay, good.
And for the addendum, items E is proceed to file annual road reports to Jefferson County Commissioners of Precinct 1, 2, 3, and 4 pursuant to section 251.05 of the Texas Transportation Code, and file a copy of same with the grand jury. Do you have a motion on those items under Commissioner?
Move.
Moved by Commissioner Arnold.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have unanimously. Separately, item D is consider and determine whether Jefferson County will participate in a home buyout program as part of the method of distribution, which will be considered and adopted by the Texas General Land Office, Southeast Texas Regional Planning Commission for Hurricane Harvey recovery. And I wanted to discuss this because the Texas General Land Office reached out to me and asked us to indicate county's level of interest in buyouts or acquisitions of properties that may be located in storm floodways or flood prone areas. As you recall, there was a buyout in the Hill Grand Acres area of 365 in the aftermath of Hurricane Ike. HUD has approved money to flow to the state, I believe, for $213 million for buyouts and acquisitions for all 40 of the counties. There's a difference between the two programs. In a buyout program, the homes that are in the floodways can be bought out at pre-disaster market value. The upside to that is that it gets homes out of flood-prone areas, which is part of the FEMA hazard mitigation grant functions over the years, is to spend that money in a way that will get structured out of floodways. The downside to it is that the county has to follow all the environmental regulations, do asbestos testing, tear down the structure, hold the structure in perpetuity. And when you have an area like Country Lane Estates, and you have 50 homes, and you know 30 of them choose to be bought out, the remaining 20 are very anxious for the county to continue to maintain those lots, you know, keep them mowed and so forth. And that gets to be a very expensive proposition for the county. The other type of program is an acquisition program where you are allowed to acquire properties in flood-prone areas. The difference is that the acquisition is at the post-disaster fair market value. So if a home's had 5 foot of water in it, it's going to be worth probably 40% of what it was pre-disaster. And there may not be as many people willing to participate in that project program. The good news is when you do acquisitions at post-disaster value, you are not required to hold those in perpetuity. You can turn around and sell them after the structure is demolished. And so we can put this back on the agenda next week, because I think, you know, y'all may want to have some time to think about this. I'll be available to one of y'all for any questions you might have.
Yeah, the program basically, Judge, that offer one option versus both?
You could go for both options. Obviously, my preference would be for an acquisition program where the county did not have to hold the property forever.
If under the option, we'll say option B, where we were to acquire the property post RV valuations, then if I understand it, you said that the properties could be rehabilitated or reused if they were built to
existing standards,
so like on stilts or something like that, or
so like in Country Land Estate, I believe in, for most of the houses out there, the base flood elevation was, there are quite a few houses that are 2 or 3 foot below base flood elevation. If you did that after disaster acquisition, and turn around and dispose of those properties as long as they came in and put the new structure that are above base flood or 1 foot above base flood elevation. So I think some of them are at 9.5 feet, and I think base flood's around 11 feet out there. So, you know, somebody can come in and do beach house type properties or something of that nature. But
would it still fall under the court or the county's responsibility to do demolition of the existing
house? Yeah, but the demolition is paid for.
Oh, it's paid by the program.
It's paid for by the program. How long will we have to hold the property?
Not long at all. I mean, we could, under the acquisition program, we could acquire them, demolish them using the hazard mitigation or CDBG funds, and then turn around and repost them for sale by either sealed bid, auction, or listing them with the realtor.
That's the, you said using sealed community development lock grant funds also?
Yeah. Well, it's hazard mitigation grant funding, but it's flowing through the CDBG program from the Part B Supplemental Disaster Appropriations Bill that went to HUD to administer. Now the State of Texas General Land Office has got an approved state action plan for distribution of the money. And their originally submitted plans called for the COGS, the Regional Planning Commission, in each area to administer the long-term housing recovery plan. That was not approved by HUD in the state action plan because Harris County and City of Houston did not want to have the COG administer their plan, whereas we did. But HUD required the state to keep the counties out of it, I mean the COGS out of it, but I think the COGS will come back in to help in administration of the plan with the GLO. But that's how the money got to the hazard mitigation for buyouts and acquisitions.
Do we have a time certain on this to have to agree or disagree with our action?
I think the final state action plan is scheduled for approval by HUD in mid-July, so probably mid-July.
I'd like to request a workshop from a yes. authority to come in and address these issues that we may have with the county. At the same time, see what type of response we have from the public as to if we have any interest in either one of the programs.
I have gotten, I believe, 3 emails over the last several months about potential for buyouts. I don't know whether any of those 3 individuals will be interested in an after-disaster market valuation buyout.
I think that's where the problem is going to come in, the aftermarket.
That's why I was asking if we could do one or the other, but not both.
Yeah.
You can do one or the other.
Okay.
You can do acquisitions and not do buyout or rather vice versa.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea, a workshop. I think having environmental control give some input on that. I know they've been working closely with the citizens that were affected. some of those flood prone areas, especially near bios, stuff like that. So it'd be good to get that information and see what kind of interest we have from the community, and then weigh out each program, pros and cons.
Let me ask a question also, Judge, along this line. I know that's one program or two programs there, but is there going to be any funding for what they call rising the facilities, raising them?
Yeah, there is going to be some elevation, but normally, as a general rule, additional cost for compliance, they limit that to $30,000. Typically, the elevated structure is about $150 a square foot. And so
that's a structure on the slab that has to be ready.
Yeah, not on pier. It'll be cheaper than for something that's on pier. But there will be some elevation money, according to Sean Davis, in the long-term housing recovery pot. So you got several pots out of this $5 billion we've allocated to Texas for Harvey recovery coming through HUD. $2.3 billion of it's going directly to Harris County and the city of Houston. At least $2.7 billion left for the other disaster impacted counties. Jefferson County per capita was the most impacted county, but in total number of homes flooded, we were the second most impacted county after Harris County. There's $213 million for acquisition and buyout. There's going to be $50 million going in accordance with HUD dictates to homelessness prevention. There'll be $250 million going to multifamily or low to moderate income. There's going to be the biggest batch of money that will go to long-term housing recovery. And the Texas General Land Office is currently qualifying. They started back a couple of months ago, but they're qualifying all the contractors who will be engaged in contracts directly with the state for the rebuilding of long-term housing, individual single-family residences throughout the disaster-impacted area, a lot of them in Jefferson County, obviously. There's going to be $100 million available for forgivable loans, so long as the individual business owners use those to hire at least 50.1% of the employees from the low to moderate income pool of available workers. And then there's going to be an additional $287 million that will be distributed under the infrastructure side that will be available to units of local government or you know, our roads, our bridges, our impacted facilities, and the Regional Planning Commission is currently working on the method of distribution of how that's going to be split up between the county and the cities.
I hope they get that together on the map.
Yeah, we've had several conversations about it.
It sounds like the Harris County money is a direct allocation, whereas the other is going to be competitive.
Well, it happens because
Harris County and City of Houston was direct.
Yeah, it was direct because the guy who was the head of housing, he's a lawyer for City of Houston in the aftermath of Hurricane Ike, did not like the way the Houston-Galveston Area Council split up the money in their method of distribution. Fast forward to Hurricane Harvey, and that housing administrator for Houston is now deputy secretary under in HUD under Secretary Carson. And so they got a direct allocation.
Yeah.
I'm happy for them.
Rolls around.
So in any event, that's
but we will be competing with other counties.
We will be competing with other counties. We'll be competing within the county, and that's the thing that we have to assure that it's done right. In the aftermath of the unincorporated area population was not accurately calculated. So we've had a bunch of discussions about making sure that that is calculated, because what happens is, in doing the method of distribution, a lot of times they utilize the FEMA registration documents. The problem is, you'll have somebody out there in Finette who has a Beaumont mailing address. And so they got thrown into the pot of Beaumont, or somebody in LaBelle, a lot of them there have Beaumont mailing addresses, and it skews the numbers, so we're trying to.
That and regional planning has a theory. You know, we pay on 254,000 people, but we only receive benefits for 30,000, 35,000. Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
Mike, maybe you could talk to Krista Lopez, see if she or who would be the most appropriate individual to come down and discuss this issue in a workshop with the Commissioner's Court. All right, anything further on that issue? All right, we can move on to engineering. Item A is consider possible approval of reclass Lot 1, Lot 2, Lot 3, Lot 4, 5, and 6 of Quail Run subdivision in Lot 1A, Lot 1B, 2A, 2B, 3A, 3B, 4A, 4B, 5A, 5B, 6A, and 6B, located off of FM Highway 365 and precinct number 4. It's not within any extraterritorial jurisdiction and met all the county planning requirements. Do I have a motion on that?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Alford.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously.
Looks like we're going to get some bills to go on.
Oh, no, we don't have to vote on it. We'll just
table it.
Okay. Under management information systems, item A is received, filed, executed annual maintenance contract cancellation new service agreement between Jefferson County and Fulmax. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Alford. Seconded by Commissioner
Horn.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Under district attorney, we have one item to consider approval of ratify out-of-state travel for assistant district attorney Dashiell Malfino and Rachel Rose to attend the ABACL Association of Government Attorneys and Capital Litigation Annual Conference in Washington, D.C. from August 8th through 11th. This continuing education seminar beneficial to the county in light of the number of capital cases these two lawyers prosecute for the district attorney's office and some budgeted in the district attorney's budget. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Alford.
Did you move that?
Seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. And Deb, I think, light of the rains last week, in light of the fact this is a little bit directed to you, this kid is food that necessity for us having a closed section, and we need to do that. But last week in the rains, ending in health and all probation facility in Fort Officer, as you well know, took on a lot of water. That issue continues to be difficult. I don't believe that we can wait until the claims against the architect and engineer are settled, and believe that we need to move forward to make that building secure and watertight in advance of that. So, Deb, if you could give the Commissioner's Court information on what that looks like from a cost standpoint, and we need to consider whether or not we want to go ahead and do that.
You said doing a workshop? You said doing a workshop?
Yeah.
I'll have it by.
In the assessment, Deb, also, I think we need to look at potential for relocation of those employees, you know, in temporary quarters, other than traffic. I mean, just as an
alternative. No.
There's not enough capacity.
I think with the proposal that we, between our architect, Mr. Levine, and what is being proposed, is they can do office sections at a time. And they were agreeable in moving the
their employees, like to the main center office, to work temporarily. Exactly. So there was something that they understood we could do on an office-by-office situation.
Okay.
Bring the beach to this workshop.
Y'all had received a text from me last week about the potential of rather large cattle show or shows coming to Ford Park Arena. Rebecca, if you and Dean could come up, I was kind of the middleman in relating information about what the equipment needs and manpower needs would be, so I asked her to show up here today and just kind of go over to see whether or not there was some way. And I deeply appreciate all of you for agreeing to help, because it meant, you know, 2,700 people in our hotel room. So Rebecca, let me turn it over to you.
Well, I'm real excited that we have some potential livestock agricultural cattle shows considering going on again. It's been great working with Ford Park on their initial bid, but then we discovered, because we, the CBB and the staff at Ford Park, apparently we're not ranchers, we didn't know that we needed some equipment to host that. So I've gotten purchasing bids, and then we had this great meeting last week with YPL representatives, some other local ranchers that are in, independent cattlemen, and handle the rodeo and things. And they recommended, rather than purchasing equipment, that perhaps we would want to rent it. The YPL is not actually purchasing Great Bar, the cattle panels, because they're just so old. They're going to rent in the equipment that they need when they need it for the rodeo. So where we stand now is Ford Park, they've got a couple of weeks to get actual bids for renting of the equipment from the vendors that John Myers and the Kikers and the YPL suggested they reach out to that. And I think that's probably, in the long run, probably purchasing equipment, although the county may have some of the tractors that we need in the specs, that might be a long range goal, but perhaps we want to rent to make sure we get the correct equipment, hire the proper manpower, get some advice from the ranchers. And then we were going to meet back in August to review those costs. Based upon what Orly was told us at that meeting for dozers and forklifts and manure forks and roll-off dumpsters and things, we're looking at about $33,000, but I'm still waiting on bids to rent from the YMBL, the honey pots, and the possibility of renting dirt versus purchasing dirt. The types of things that we're talking about in order to host livestock shows is we have to have clean dirt. And I didn't know there was such a thing, but it has to be free of debris and grass and all sorts of things. That goes in the arena. And then periodically, when you house your cattle in the ag barns between shows or after each show, you have to, what they call, scrape. You get rid of all pellets and the shavings and the extra manure and stuff. And so you always have to replenish the ag barn dirt so that you have dirt in there all the time. So you have dirt, you have then the what I'm calling a tractor, which is the tractor that has to have the front loader so you can scrape, so you can move the dirt around. Once the dirt's put in the arena, you have to work the dirt, is what all the ranchers say. And that is making sure it's like sifting flour and harrowing it and picking up the manure out of it. And then you also have to spray it, because from experience from the YMBL, they shared that during the week that both of these shows are Saturday to Saturdays, you have to kind of hose it down, otherwise the dust, you know, gets pretty high and then you have a lot of housekeeping issues. So but the two gentlemen that are part of Independent Cattlemen's and part of YMBL and all that, they were actually discussing maybe Ford Park could hire them, because they're the ones that prepare the arena for the rodeo, and they are ranchers and cattlemen themselves. So they're coming up with some figures. So I guess the question would be, because these are really, I would consider, capital assets, something that, do we want to pursue this business? We which means we do have to invest either a rental or a long-term acquiring the assets, or is it cost prohibitive, and then we would know and not waste the client's time, not waste our park's time, not waste your time.
Or is, do we currently have available through our precinct the appropriate equipment to assist?
Correct, to help offset some of these rental costs. Does the county already have the proper tractor, and then we would just need to have the manpower and the expertise to put up the panels, the cattle panels, and the proper formation and all of that. So we're kind of at a point where we need to discuss that.
And since the sheriff, I believe her work really people often assist with that at the YMBL fair, but I guess Rebecca, if you could provide the commissioners and email us maybe with this, the types of equipment you need, see
yes.
whether or not it would be available.
Yes, I will do that.
That's
operators too?
No, that's actually most of the time those guys operate the equipment with know-how in the past. We've let Wineville, we've let Fort Park use before. But more importantly than that, if we start looking at a capital thing, and I think it opens up for some of the individuals around here that raise bulls, that have bulls on the PBR and the big bull rides around, it may open up another venue of business for our community that we know that people already have invested in. So it's sometimes you have to look at it from all angles.
Exactly. When I looked at our competitors for these two particular cattle shows have been, they've been kind of rotating about between the West Monroe, Louisiana, their convention agricultural center, Kansas City, Texarkana, and the guy at Texarkana, which is the 4-state complex, was very helpful giving me his vendors. They actually purchased because they have a lot of business. And then there's Bryan College Station, the Brazos Expo. And I looked at their calendars, and if we can get into the business and do it right the first couple of times so that we have a good reputation, all those cattle people, there's also horse shows, there's other agility shows. I started making a list of some we work with before their state associations of all these cattle shows. So in my opinion, there's a niche there that is perfect for Fort Park to go after because there's really no other place in this area. And they're all looking, you know, they usually will do multiple year contacts, they'll be at 2 or 3. My brain is people says, I really don't want to be moving anymore if I could just live with y'all for a long permanent time. But generally, the cattle shows, they'll do 3 to 5 years in one location, then they'll rotate back up, and then 2 to 3 years, they'll rotate back in. So it's ongoing. I think there's some possibility there, but the Fort Park put good rent that is comparable to what we're doing about the other ag facilities, the expos, convention centers are offering $10,000 to $12,000. We'd offer $15,000, and so we, the CBB, we're trying to help offset that to make us really competitive. But then there's not an add-on for the dirt, for the manure costs, for the this, and that's kind of what we realize, that we can't just be tacking on costs into the rent fee. I mean, clean dirt, I got a quote from that. That was $22,000, and so, but it lasts a long time if you keep it clean, you put it, you know, have a shed or something that you can put it under. There were just a lot of logistics that we realized we needed to come and bring y'all into the conversation. And I'll be glad to pass on the notes that I have. Fort Park is actually getting rental costs, and I will share with you what I did as far as purchasing costs from the vendors. These may not be the only vendors. Mr. Meyer says they use Mustang rentals down in Needle, and I haven't reached out to them, but I'll send you the facts and figures that I have gotten so far. And Fort Park is getting a complete budget with the rental prices from the local vendors based upon the advice that the YMBL and the ranchers, our local ranchers, told us at this meeting. And they're supposed to have that ready by July 17th. But I will send you what I have so that you can kind of start figuring out, do we want to rent? That's what the YMBL, Mr. Chris Coletti, recommended, because then you don't have storage, you don't have maintenance. But if you're really going to go after the business long term, that gets expensive after a while.
I see Chris is here with Fort Arthur News, and I don't want the news tomorrow to say that we spent the whole meeting talking about bulls and manure.
Yes, so, and that's what I was saying about Mr. John Myers and Chuck and Chase Piper were saying that they were talking, that since they know how to drive the big wheel tractors and the skids and all of that, and they know how to level the dirt, that they were going to potentially come up with a price so that they could be the hired help to run the track and all that, because the rest of us were kind of like not been trained in that, so. So it's a potential market, it just is a little bit more involved than we've done in the past, and it's just something that we're trying to bring some facts and figures to let y'all review it. If it gets too difficult, we're not able to bring it, we certainly understand that, but then we won't waste anyone's time, but I think like Commissioner Offer said, there's more shows, there's a lot of other things that potentially you could go after. If once we host a show and do it well, then that spreads and we'll start, I think we'll start having some other groups come. At this point, they know we don't have the equipment, but we have a lot of members on those boards and membership in the Brangus and the Rollins and the whatever, and their state as well as national and international. And I'm looking at those facilities' calendars and already writing up a list of trying to bid on that business if we're able to get the clean dirt, cattle panels, and tractor with draggers, and the manpower to put up panels and spread dirt and work the dirt.
Thank you so much. And any additional information you can provide to us will be greatly appreciated.
And I'll email it to all of y'all. Thank you so much.
Anything further, Commissioner, which brings to the attention of the public that are taking action?
We meet next week. We meet in the AM.
So, Jim, go early morning. Got 3 early morning.
Got 5.
We'll say 10.
That's fine.
Okay, Commissioner's Court on next Monday. It'll be at 10 o'clock AM. All departments will need to adjust backwards. So, try to have all your agenda items in by 10 a.m., before 10 a.m. Thursday. Anything further? If not, then we are adjourned at 2:19 p.m.